You may be seated. Well, go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, I trust, is a familiar psalm to many of us. It has been over the years. Let's give ear now to the Word of God. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May the Lord bless His word to us this morning. Well, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll notice that Psalm 121, our text here this morning, has that inscription that reads a song of ascents. In fact, all of Psalms 120 through 134 contain this particular inscription. And so we might ask, well, what is that all about, right? Well, let's spend a few moments here to think about that. During the three main feasts of Israel in the Old Testament, they were prescribed in the Old Testament, the Israelite men from all over the countryside in the nation of Israel would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and to celebrate the Lord. And we find this in a few places in the Old Testament, in Exodus and Deuteronomy. For instance, in Exodus 23, verse 14, there the word says, three times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. And then a little later in Exodus 34, verse 24, for I will cast out nations before you and enlarge your borders. No one shall covet your land when you go up, or when you ascend, to appear before the Lord your God three times in the year. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 through 17, we read, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. And so you can see the words there, or hear the words there, that three times a year the men shall go up to Jerusalem and to the temple to celebrate these main feasts. And many biblical scholars believe that these Israelite pilgrims would sing these songs of ascents, as they ascended the hills to Jerusalem itself and to the temple. And then once the pilgrims arrived in the city, other biblical scholars believe that they would use these songs of ascents as a kind of a devotional collection of prayers and songs for meditation while they made their way to the temple itself after having arrived in the city. And then some scholars also believe that these 15 songs of ascent were sung by the Levites while they ascended the 15 steps leading into the courtyards of the second temple in Jerusalem. And also because of these things, it's thought that these psalms really were used as in some sort of worship processional within the city, led by the priests and Levitical choirs. And Psalm 121 seems to lend itself to this kind of thinking, this kind of understanding. It lends itself to a call and response pattern as well. We can envision a precentor calling out parts of this psalm to his compatriots traveling to the temple, and then they corporately replying in response. And so Psalm 121 reminds us and encourages us this morning about the faithfulness of the Lord to preserve us during our entire pilgrimage through the dangers of this world all the way to our entrance into the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's what we want to think about this morning through 4 points this morning. Not three, but I have four. The Lord is first your helper and creator. Second, the Lord is your sleepless keeper. Third, the Lord is your shade-giving keeper. And fourth, the Lord is your everlasting keeper. So your helper and creator, your sleepless keeper, your shade-giving keeper, and your everlasting keeper. And so let's begin by considering our first point here this morning. The Lord is your helper and creator. Look with me again at verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we have here the pilgrim of this psalm. He begins by surveying the horizon that's out in front of him, and he sees these imposing hills that he must ascend in order to get to Jerusalem for the feast celebration. And as you may know, the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by mountains. And this is noted in another Songs of Ascent in Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround the Lord, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. And in that psalm and in that verse, the mountains there symbolize the surrounding protection of Jerusalem by the Lord. But here in Psalm 121, the hills present a formidable danger to the pilgrim. Because traveling to Jerusalem in the ancient Near East at that time was not a simple, easy, straightforward task. It was very difficult. There were no paved roads. There were no paved paths. The landscape was full of brush, bristles, branches, boulders, steep ledges, loose gravel on which to slip and fall, and all other kinds of obstacles that would lend themselves to causing scrapes and bruises, twisted ankles, broken bones, and even death. And also there were various predatory animals that posed very real threats to the pilgrims and their safety as they traversed the mountains. Another danger was exposure to intense heat and also cold. And so the climate in that part of the ancient Near East was at times a bit onerous, and heat stroke was a very real threat. Exposure to cold at night was certainly a danger. And yet another traveling threat was that of bandits and robbers lurking along the way. They would attack, they would beat, they would steal whatever valuable belongings and provisions the victims had on them. So getting to Jerusalem was no guaranteed piece of cake journey. It was difficult. And so our pilgrim here in Psalm 121, he comes to these perilous hills surrounding Jerusalem that he must ascend, and he soberly asks, from where does my help come from? And his reply to himself and all those traveling with him is a confident confession of faith. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And there's two instructive things here that we ought to note and ought to be noted here. First, you'll notice the name he confesses from which his help comes. Lord. You see the word Lord there in all capital letters. You are no doubt a well-instructed congregation, and perhaps you understand that when we see the word Lord in our Old Testament in all capital letters, that's signifying something significant to us. That's the, in the Hebrew, the covenant-keeping name of God, Yahweh. And this is the name that of God that signifies the covenant promises and the covenant commitments of faithfulness that he's made to his people, to which he has bound himself. So when you see Lord in all capital letters, think the covenant faithfulness and promises of God to me and to his people. This is the name our pilgrim in this psalm confesses. And so, for instance, we read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, at the burning bush, the Lord tells Moses to tell the Israelites who were in slavery to the Egyptians and Pharaoh. He says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, a land flowing with milk and honey." And so the Lord's name reminds this pilgrim in Psalm 121 and us today too, that God has been absolutely faithful to His promises, all of His promises to His people throughout redemptive history. And the name of God encourages him and strengthens him to face those lurking dangers of the journey. And he can face them with confidence in God's faithfulness to preserve him all the way up the mountain to the feast in Jerusalem. And so he confesses that the Lord is trustworthy to accomplish this. And the Lord's name also communicates to the psalmist and to us today that God is personal and that He's near to us. He's not far from us. He has brought His people into relationship with Him. He has brought us into relationship with Him. And their help and our help for the journey is not in themselves or in ourselves, but in Him alone, ultimately. He is not some distant, impersonal force in the universe. He's not watching from afar. No, He is very near to His people, and He is faithful to extend His help to them as they make their way to Jerusalem. And this is no less true for us today as we make our way through this dangerous world to the heavenly Jerusalem, the world to come. So, loved ones, He is with you. He is near to you because He loves you. He will be faithful to you. Even as Psalm 23, a familiar psalm to us, says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." And the second instructive thing to note in the opening verses of this psalm is that the pilgrim confesses that his helper is also the creator of heaven and earth. And since he knows that God has made all things, he also knows that God omnipotently controls all things. His eyes here have looked beyond those ominous and dangerous mountains to the One who created all things and the One who supremely governs all things and sustains all things. And so this is nothing short of a confession of trust in the sovereign power and providence of God. The traveler here, he reasons and declares, "I've got the help of the One who made heaven and earth with me. Surely He is able to bring me to Jerusalem safely." And by way of application, let us ask ourselves, it's appropriate to stop for a moment and think about this. Where does our help come from? Where does our help come from from our journey through this dangerous world to the world to come in heaven? Where do you look for your help? Where do you look for your security? How do you alleviate your fears in the face of dangers and all the distresses in your life? Do you look to the One who made heaven and earth? Or to someone or something else? Important questions for us to ask in our circumstances. But truth be told, I include myself here, we frequently have the habit of looking somewhere else first, don't we? When we're presented with trouble. If we're honest with ourselves. Or sadly, even worse, we may not ever turn to the Lord in the face of a trial. While in the midst of confessing His name, we're kind of sneaky that way, aren't we? Sometimes we don't even turn to the Lord. And we try to scheme our way out of difficulties and distress in this life without ever praying to Him. And so we all too often, as one writer put it, we say, "I will lift my eyes to the first savings and loan. I will lift my eyes to my political party." That's a big one, right? "I will lift my eyes to my closest friend." And so on and so forth. I mean, you could insert just about anything in there that we commonly look to first, or maybe even above the Lord Himself in our practical living. Sometimes we live as functional idolaters. And we are mischievous sinners and very good at ways to avoid going to the Lord and trusting in Him. even though He's the one who made us and sustains us, and He's in sovereign control of all our circumstances and has all the power of as Almighty God to bring to bear to our difficult circumstances, and yet we turn to other people and other things and other places. And so I exhort us all to repent of our self-reliant sin and to lift our eyes beyond the hills and to lift them to the Lord, trusting in Him, saying, from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And loved ones, thank God here that Jesus perfectly looked to the Lord, right? For all His help, all the days of His life in our place, thankfully. And He paid for our sins of self-reliance. That's the comfort of the gospel in the face of our very real failings in this area of our life. And so we can thank God for Jesus' work on our behalf. Well, not only does Psalm 121 remind us that the Lord is our helper and our creator, it also reminds us that the Lord is our sleepless keeper. And that's our second point this morning. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Here the psalmist is reminding himself and his fellow travelers that the Lord will keep their feet and footing firm as they climb those dangerous mountains. And so children and young people, there's a few of you in our midst. Maybe you might feel kind of odd that you're being talked to right now, but you're part of this congregation. And so I want to take a moment and talk to you about this text and what the Bible says here. You know, perhaps you've gone on a hike before, right? And with your friends and family, and you've hiked up maybe a steep trail at some point, right? And one slip of your foot and you'll quickly slide back and maybe possibly even get hurt. Or same with hiking along a trail, and there might be a steep drop on one side that's kind of dangerous and scary, and you're walking along it and one wrong step of the foot and you're toast. And I, young people probably don't say that anymore, but I'm not really sure what hip word to use to try to draw you into this analogy, but toast is all I got. But one slip of a foot and you're done for, right? Well, the psalmist is reminding you that you and all the rest of us here, that the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth, will not let your foot fall off the path to heaven. That is really the application of these words to us. He will not let us fall off the path to heaven. He won't let your foot be moved. And so this pilgrim is encouraging himself and us to remember that God gives stability to His people, even in the face of mortal danger. He gives stability to us. Now, does this mean that no pilgrim ever slipped in the mountains making their way up to Jerusalem, right? So I could hear the cynic asking, so does that really mean no one in the history of Israel ever slipped on the way to Jerusalem for the feasts? Well, no, that's not what the saying means, okay? He will not let your foot be moved. Rather, it means that the Lord won't let us fully fall off the path to Jerusalem. He won't let ultimate, final harm come upon His people that would wrest them away from Him. And so this promise here in the beginning of verse 4 is similar to Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now, as you know, this promise was misused by Satan when he tempted Jesus to sinfully test the Lord by throwing himself down from the temple. But even though Satan maligned the intent of this promise, the promise itself is still absolutely true. As one commentator put it this way, Jesus, the ultimate pilgrim, had His feet kept by the Father. God kept His feet in the wilderness when they walked the shores of Galilee, when they climbed the Mount of Transfiguration, when Mary bathed them with her tears, and when they were nailed to the cross. God kept His feet in the paths of righteousness so that when He went to the cross, those pierced feet crushed the devil's head. Because the Lord kept the feet of Jesus, you and I who trust in His forgiveness of our sins will be saved through His death. He will not let your foot be moved. The Lord will keep your foot and footing firm on the path to heaven. And our pilgrim continues, really, to confidently declare, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." See, the Lord is the keeper of Israel. He is the keeper of all his people. And the underlining meaning for the verb to keep is to pay careful attention to. And it also means to guard, right? And so the one who keeps Israel is the one who pays special attention to his people. He watches over them like a guardian. And so the Lord's keeping of his people, loved ones, is constant. He never lets his guard down. And that's good news for us, isn't it? He never lets his guards down. And I think we've all probably been in that place where we've stayed awake so long that we start to go delirious and can no longer concentrate on the task at hand. Right? And we've probably all been there. If you haven't, then you probably are living a relatively sheltered life that most people don't experience. But often we find ourselves without enough sleep and rather kind of crazy, really. Our movement becomes sloppy, and all we can think about is, "I need sleep." Anything, and like nothing else matters. It's tunnel vision on the pillow. You know, "I just want my bed." You know, and you just lose all sense of care for everybody else and everything else, right? And it's especially dangerous when you're driving behind the wheel, and you know, we've all been there, and we have trouble in those moments. We become so desperate, even at the expense of our safety and the safety of people around us. But unlike us, the Lord never grows tired. As Dr. Godfrey once commented about this verse, "The protection of the Lord is constant. It never falters or fails. It's never interrupted. The Lord is not a human guard who may fall asleep and fail in his duties." Praise God for that. So the Lord is our sleepless keeper. And he's not sleepless because he gets tired. He's without sleep because he has no need of it. And so he never nods off because he's God Almighty. He never gets drowsy. He's constantly watching over us. He never slumbers nor sleeps. And because this is true, we can sleep, right? Because he never sleeps, we can sleep. We can find rest in body and in soul because he never sleeps. When we can't sleep, oftentimes, and I'm speaking about myself here, and I trust as fellow sinners you feel this way and do this too, that when we can't sleep, a lot of the time it's because we're worried about something, or we're preoccupied with something that's going on and interrupting our life, or something that we're anticipating that brings us great distress or anxiety or concern or some kind of vexation in our life. And it's during those restless hours that we've often taken our focus off our never sleeping keeper who's promised to keep our footing safe all the way on the trail to heaven. We're essentially faithless in those moments, aren't we? It's a sad truth about us. And so may God help us to renounce and put off this sin. Because he never sleeps, we can sleep. But here too, thankfully, our Lord Jesus perfectly looked to his faithful Father in our place. As a result, he slept peacefully, as Matthew 8 records, when you remember that storm in the Sea of Galilee came out of nowhere and caused his disciples, as they were in the boat, to fear for their lives. They're like, "Oh, we're going to die," right? And Jesus was sleeping in the boat, right? And all chaos is breaking out. The ship is going under, you know, according to the disciples. And right in the midst of this dangerous boat ride, there he is resting, sleeping, in the knowledge that his Father was the sleepless keeper of Israel. And thank God, Jesus
He was faithful in our place. And so not only can you trust that God will forgive all your sins in Christ, you can also trust Him with all your cares, with all your anxieties that trouble you in this life, knowing that He cares for you, knowing that He keeps you, He will keep you. Your ultimate footing in Christ is secure no matter what comes your way. And so when you come to those sleepless moments, remember your sleepless keeper and cast your cares on Him, knowing that He cares for you. He loves you. And so your ultimate footing in Christ is secure. No matter what comes your way, the Lord is your sleepless keeper. And Psalm 121 continues and reminds us that the Lord is also our shade-giving keeper. And that's our third point this morning. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So verse 5 is actually the center of the psalm, and thus the theme of the psalm. The Lord is your keeper. And so your keeper is your shade on your right hand. And now shade in this verse is a means of divine protection. And hence the next declaration, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And so there's similar language throughout the Old Testament. For instance, in Exodus 13, verse 21, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night." Those were means of protection and guidance that the Lord gave to His people. And then also we hear some similar language and concepts in Psalm 105, verse 39, where the psalmist says, speaking of the Lord, "He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night." See, your keeper is your shade on your right hand. He's with His pilgrims and He's near to them in their journey up the treacherous mountains to the Feast of Jerusalem. He shades them. Protects them. And we hear that same language in Psalm 91, verse 1. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." And when the psalmist says here, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night," it means that the keeper of Israel protects his people from all ultimate harm, from the dangers that come at them during the daytime and the dangers that come at them during the nighttime. And we certainly understand how the sun can strike us by day, right? Heat stroke is a very real danger on a long journey outside in the blazing sun. And so we can very readily understand how the sun can strike us by day. But how does the moon strike us by night, right? I mean, have you ever thought about that? When I began to study to prepare this sermon, you know, I was like, well, what in the world, you know, does that mean? What the sun won't, or the moon won't strike you by night? It's a very odd thing, isn't it? But I think the psalmist is getting really at the idea of irrational fears. And the moon itself doesn't harm you. Thinking that it does harm you doesn't make sense, does it? But we are prone at times, aren't we, to fear things irrationally. Okay, I'm the first to admit that I have many irrational fears in this life. So this is how we are often. And so I think that the thrust of this verse is to say that the Lord will protect us from both our rational and our irrational fears. Whatever comes at us by day or night, whether it's a rational fear or an irrational one, we can trust the Lord. He's our keeper. It's not going to strike us down and separate us from His love. And so whenever the fears of this life come upon you, both a real and imagined threats, remember that the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So even, and loved ones, even if your worst fear comes true, you can even then, in those circumstances, be assured by the promise of God that it's not come upon you by chance, but it's come upon you in God's fatherly hand and care of providence in your life. And so remember His promise to you in Romans 8:28 that He's working all things for good, even that realized worst fear. And then also remember the sure hope we have in Christ's resurrection victory over all things in this world. That one day we shall never fear anything ever again after we reach our pilgrim destination in the celestial, heavenly Jerusalem above. And listen to Revelation chapter 7, verse 15 and through 17 as the Apostle John, describes the great multitude standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they're clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And hear the language of Psalm 121 here echoed. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. This is what we have to look forward to in the eternal city. We'll be sheltered by His eternal presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a wonderful, beautiful promise that brings to us in our pilgrim journey, and that we're reminded of when we think of the Lord being our shade-giving keeper. And that brings us to our last and our brief point this morning. The Lord is our everlasting keeper. Look with me at verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I mean, really, these are beautiful words, aren't they? Beautiful, comforting words from the Word of God in this psalm. When it says the Lord will keep you from all evil, it means that the Lord won't let evil completely overtake us and throw us off the course of heaven on which He's placed us. And as Derek Kidner, a great Old Testament scholar, wrote, in light of other scriptures, to be kept from all evil does not imply a cushioned life. Rather, it teaches us that we will have a well-armed life for this pilgrim walk that we are on. Armed with the knowledge that the Lord will thwart all overtaking evil that threatens our life in body and in soul, and gives us confidence that we need to face and traverse the dangerous mountains in this life on our pilgrimage to heaven. And so all your comings and all your goings out from this time forth and forevermore, I think of Sandlot, forever, right? Forever are watched over, guarded, preserved by your eternal keeper. He is faithful. He has been faithful to keep you. He is faithful now to keep you. And He will be faithful forever to keep you. I mean, this is really the awesome promise of Romans 8, right? Romans 8:35 through 39 is a little bit of a long quote, but let's hear these words again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? There's a lot of things here that threaten us. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you and us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the promise of God to us today from His Word and from this psalm. The Lord is your everlasting keeper. Well, in conclusion, I'm reminded of the words penned by John Newton in his famous hymn, Amazing Grace, as they really echo the pilgrim thoughts here of Psalm 121. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. You see the pilgrim language there. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. And so, loved ones, may our pilgrim hearts be encouraged to travel the journey of this life that we're making with endurance, always lifting our eyes to the Lord, confessing His sleepless, His shade-giving and eternal keeping of us all the way to the Jerusalem above. And so may we ever take up this pilgrim psalm as our prayer and confession of faith throughout all our times of danger, anxieties, distresses along the way, as our pilgrim forefathers of old once did when they traveled to the earthly Jerusalem for the Lord's feast days. And let us praise God. Let us praise God for the sure hope we have of dining forever with Him in the greatest feast of all time, in the heavenly Jerusalem. As the Word of God says, blessed are you who are invited to the marriage supper, the marriage feast of the Lamb. And loved ones, the good news to you today from Psalm 121 and the Word of God is that He will bring you safely there. And He will be faithful to complete the work that He has started in you, even until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word of promise to us from Psalm 121. We thank You that You indeed are our keeper, and we look to You, O God, and we pray that You would increase our trust and faith in Your promises to us, that You will keep us all the way to the great heavenly Jerusalem. We thank You for the blood and righteousness of our Savior, which and His resurrection, which has secured our entrance into the great city above. And so, Lord, as we face all the difficulties and dangers in this present evil age, may we, with great trust in You, confess Your name and find all our rest and repose in You alone. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.